Good morning. Welcome to Overeats Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Susan. I am a recovered compulsive overeater, and today is Wednesday, May 29th, 2024, and we are reading from a big book, continuing in There Is a Solution. Can we star one to mute yourself, please? Can we mute the line? Thank you. We are reading from the big book, continuing in There Is a Solution, page 22, the second paragraph, Why Does He Behave Like This, through to Displays With Respect to Other Matters. Today's readers are Penny L.C., who will read the text, Yvonne A., A Vision for You, and Cara L. is our backup. Our newcomer greeter is Cheryl S., and Shelley E. will share announcements. The reference numbers for Tuesday, May 28th, 10 a.m. Eastern, is 21,437. And for Wednesday, May 29th, 7 a.m. Eastern, is 21,443. Overeats Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeats Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Kathy P. to please join us today for us. Good morning, Kathy.
Sorry, I was getting a call. Hi, Kathy, compulsive overeater, okay. Grateful to be of service this morning. The steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Kathy P. Next, I will ask Joanne L. to please read the 12 traditions of OA for us. Good morning, Joanne.
Good morning. Thanks again, Sue, for the service for this month. It was nice working with you. And also, everybody on the line, thank you for coming, and especially our newcomers. I am Joanne L. from Rhode Island, recovering one day at a time. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or always as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I pass.
And thank you to both Kathy P. and Joanne L. for your service this month. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you please keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. So today we're going to resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 22 in the chapter, There is a Solution, the second paragraph, Why Does He Behave Like This Through Displays with Respect to Other Masses? And I will now invite Penny LC to join us and please begin reading and sharing her thoughts on the paragraph. Thank you, Penny.
Thank you, Susan. Thank you for your service. And good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny LC, a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. Why does he behave like this? If hundreds of experiences have shown him that one drink means another debacle with all its attendant suffering and humiliation, why is it he takes that one drink? Why can't he stay on the water wagon? What has become of the common sense and willpower that he still sometimes displays with respect to other matters? So I'm taught in reading and learning from the Big Book that I am to identify in. So I ask myself, why did I behave like this? Why did I pick up that first compulsive bite? Because I have come to see that the first compulsive bite will be my first step back to disaster, to humiliation, to shame, to guilt, to excruciating suffering. Why did I take that first bite? Because I have an obsession of my mind and an allergy of my body. Why couldn't I stay stopped? Because I didn't know what I didn't know, and I couldn't see what I couldn't see. I was immersed in the insanity of blaming others while trying to control others. What had become of common sense and willpower? They were both the wrong solutions to the problem, a problem I couldn't solve by my logic or my will. Why? Because the problem is centered in self-reliance instead of reliance on a power greater than myself. I have a spiritual problem that needs a spiritual solution. The good news is that once I found my higher power, I was able to find my way to a new way of life. A new way of life that has led me to stop blaming others, to take responsibility, to be able to let go and let my higher power be in charge, to be able to know that I am not the director of everybody else's traffic. I'm not meant to control, manage, or manipulate them. I get to stay on my side of the street. I get to focus on my recovery and let others have their journey. And in this way, I am free. It relieves me of that bondage of self that drove me to that first compulsive bite. Thank you for letting me share. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Penny LC in Washington State. If you joined us halfway through, we are reading, we've read, and we're commenting now on page 22, the second paragraph, why does he behave like this, through to displays with respect to other matters. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So that does include if you shared on the earlier meeting. So if you can give me your first name, last initial, and the state or country you're calling from, I'm excited to hear everybody's thoughts on this paragraph. We would like
Melanie
to start
C. from Oregon. I'm sorry I stepped on your toes. Melanie C. from Oregon.
Karen K. from Missouri.
Karen, I hear Karen K. and then someone from New York.
Elaine G. from New York.
Elaine, thank you. And Karen, when you share, please let me know where you're calling from. So I have three people so far. We can take a couple of other names.
L.
Ara L.
Mary M.
and T.
I think there was a Marianne and somebody with a T.
No, Jeff A.
Jeff A. Mm-hmm. Was there anyone else? I think there was.
Joe Marie M. I'm not sure if you're.
Joe, talking. Thank you. I didn't. Thank you, Joe Marie.
Hear Melanie.
Okay.
Melanie was.
Sorry? I heard Melanie. No problem. Thank you. I heard Melanie. Thank you. Okay, so here's let's pause for 1 second, please. This is our first lineup, and I didn't get everybody's state, so when you speak, please share with us so people can find you on the member list. Melanie C. from Oregon, Karen K., Elaine G. from New York, Cara L. from California, Jeff A., and Joan Marie. So if everyone other than Melanie could please star one and mute their lines, we would greatly appreciate it. And Melanie, welcome. Good morning. Please join us.
Hey, good morning. Good morning, Susan. Good morning, everyone that's here today. My name is Melanie C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I live in Oregon. Why does she behave like this? Why does she get excited about sharing on a paragraph and step on the moderator's toes? Why does she behave like this? Because I'm a compulsive, impulsive person by nature, and I have the 12 steps to work on that to enable me to build a parallel life so I have an opportunity to behave politely in the group of other people. But I wanted to share on this particular paragraph because if hundreds of examples have shown me that I'm going to succumb to the desire again, no matter what,
And how come in other matters, although that wasn't my case, in other matters, I can kind of show up and do things like average people do? What's the difference between the two? Because the things that I do with average people where I show up and I can use some, never did for me what food did for me. It never covered up the kinds of things that I might feel in terms of anxiety and fear and incompetence and all those other things that came up as a result of the twisted thinking that I have as an addict, the way that food did. Going to a meeting and coming out on top and winning awards never did for me. It never blacked me out like food did, from being able to come out of this world in some sort of sense without the ultimate sacrifice. Just let me say that. That's the distinct difference between me and an average person. I have a dysregulated brain. It is fundamentally and physiologically created different than that of an average brain. It fires differently in different cylinders and within the brain. It's red where it should be cool. It's cool where it should be red. All those kinds of things are absolutely different. And then you add to that my operating system, the way that I get built up in certain situations, so that my twisted thinking says that taking a little bit of whiskey in my milk is the smartest thing I've ever done. That is a pathological, physiological reaction to this idea that has me now saying that I am an addict, a full-blown, absolute, without question, the real deal. And that's just a simple difference between the two. It never did for me what this food does for me, and now I have a solution that does for me what nobody and nothing else could ever do, with a power greater than myself to cure, not cure, of course, we know that was a silly word for me to use, to be able to manage through life this particular spiritual malady and be restored to sanity. And with that, I pass. Thanks for the opportunity. Fabulous sentence and paragraph today.
Thank you, Melanie C. in Oregon. Next, we have Karen K. And if Karen, you can tell us where you're calling from this morning. Please, star one to unmute.
Yes, thank you, Susan. This is Karen KZ in Missouri, gratefully recovered. And all the whys don't matter. I mean, the simple why I think all of us have learned is that we have this mental twist and this physical allergy. That's why we're different from other people. And all the trying to figure it out, all the therapy, all the stuff about why, has just been a waste of time. And how grateful I am to have found actually this vision meeting and this way of recovery, which is, I've been in OA since 1987, but only recovered since June of 2022. And it's because of this big book and this vision and all this, I get to see that I have to admit that I have this, I have to be entirely abstinent. I was willpowering abstinence. That's what I was doing. I was controlling it. That's not recovery. That is not recovery. But for years in OA, I thought it was. And I missed out on the joy of living I have now. And the whole thing is that I am powerless over food. I say other people and their behavior, life situations, the traffic, the weather. My life is unmanageable. And I come to believe that a power greater than me can restore me to sanity. And I turn my will and my life over to the care of that power. And that's the difference. Every day I invite God to take me over. That's the first words that come out of my mouth. Take me over, God. Think your thoughts through me. Speak your words through me. Act your actions through me. That's the difference. When I keep inviting God to take me over, God takes me over. And that's when the life, if things come to me and blessings come to me, my gratitude just overflows. That's the difference for me. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm relying on a power greater than myself. So thank you for giving me the opportunity to share, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Karen KZ in Missouri. Next, we're going to go to New York. Elaine G., please join us. Thank you.
Hi, everybody. This is Elaine G. from New York. While I haven't been here, I haven't been actually reaching out to my higher power either, and gaining weight and compulsively eating. Oh, my God. And doing things that are weird, you know. Anyway, talking about this paragraph, two things I did. then that were not good, because I was compulsively eating and not seeing, thinking through things. For one, my sponsor, I didn't like that he told me he has one day he couldn't get back to me, the other day he's making a party, but he did not. I didn't even let him talk to say when he could get back to me. I just told him point blank, you're some sponsor, you know, and I got angry at him, you know. Then having to do with my ex-girlfriend who doesn't like men, and I knew that if I told her that my friend was going to sleep over the next day for this barbecue at my building, she was going to get nuts, you know. So she went nuts, and she left, and why'd I do that? I don't know. But, you know, I'm doing weird things when I'm not abstinent, really not thinking straight, and that's why I said to myself, I better get back to Vision for You. I always hear good things. And now I'm thinking my sponsor, he could give me a few days a week, but I need more than a few days a week to speak to somebody. I feel I need somebody 7 days a week for a sponsor, you know? But anyway, I don't know what I need, to tell you the truth. But anyway, I'm going to stay after and see if I could get a sponsor to my liking. That's not so good either, you know? Talking about myself, Will. But anyway, thank you very much. I pass.
Thank you. Thank you, Elaine G. in New York. Next up, we have Cara L. in California. Thank you, Cara.
Good morning, Susan. This is Cara L., a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. You know, why does he behave like this? And, you know, the line that really hits me is, you know, why can't he stand the water wagon? What has become to the common sense and willpower that he still sometimes displays with respect to other matters? And there was a time that I could not take the bike by myself. You know, there were times that I could lose weight, and slowly but surely those times started getting fewer and fewer until they disappeared, until I woke up one day and I was like, I can't not eat. And I went to bed every day promising the next day I wouldn't eat, and I would eat the next day. And then I would be demoralized and I would do it all over again every single day. And I spent a lot of time chasing the whys. You know, and in the next paragraph we'll hear, you know, we might not have that answer. And as soon as I let go of the need to know why I do that and just said, I do it, and I can't display sound judgment when it comes to my food and dietary choices and sound judgment, you know, let's be honest, sound judgment in most of my life, that I had to say, all right, I'm ready to step ashore from the bridge of reason. I'm ready to stop figuring out why and start figuring out how to connect with my higher power. And I'm ready to say, higher power, I don't know. I don't have to know. And I just need your help. And I'm just going to trust 100% that you're there. And that if I do the things I need to do, which are working the steps, it will bring me closer to you. And I will have recovery. And that's what happened. You know, today I have food neutrality, and today I have recovery. And today I work a lot of hours to keep that conscious contact. Because when I fall into the whys and I start figuring it out for myself, and it doesn't have to be just the food, it can be anything. That's when it gets complicated and difficult. And when I say I don't know why, I'm just going to ask for help, the simple solution comes. And I'm so grateful for that today. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Carl L. in California. Next up, we have Jeff A. And Jeff, if you could tell us where you're calling from this morning. Thank you.
Yeah, this is Jeff A. in California. So I've had food neutrality for several months, but I was going on a cruise with my wife, our 30th anniversary, and I was looking forward to it, but I was scared too, because it's all about the food. But I'm not there for the food per se. But my sponsor gave me several suggestions a couple weeks before, and one of them is that it's got to be fit spiritual condition. If it turns out that, like, we did some tours on through the cruise ship, and they were very expensive, and he said if the tours don't measure up, so what? It's got to be fit spiritual condition is the most important thing, nothing else. I found, he said there's a Friends of Bill W on the cruise ships, and they had one, and so I went there 4 out of 6 times for 1 hour. And he also told me to do New Pair of Glasses by Chuck C. And I quick shipped it to me just before I got to the cruise. And I was reading it and pondering it. And I also did my daily renewals and everything else that I was doing as well. Because part of me thought, well, since I'm on a cruise, I can do a little bit less than usual. And he's like, yeah, that's not going to work. You got to be, and for me, I make no unilateral food decisions because I'll end up going back to the food. So the good news is I did the cruise and came back last week and sober. So hallelujah for that. But I do it one meal at a time. And that's even before the cruise. I mean, I just do one meal at a time. I can't do all day. I have too many stormy emotions, and I have to write. Writing is hard, but I do inventory. Okay, yeah. So in any case, it's been a blessing, but
thank
I also
you.
Have to be myself. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Jeff A. in California. Next, we have Joan Marie M. in Nevada. Good morning. Joan Marie, star 1 to unmute.
Well, I'm talking away, Susan. Okay.
Good morning.
Good morning. Well, just well. I listened this morning to the new, the first meeting, and my notes are all over the page here. But it says that, you know, the why is not the solution. The why is a spiritual experience with the God of my understanding. I have a spiritual melody that keeps me, because I put the food in front of a power greater than myself. So I'm plugging up the source, and the source is still there, but I can't hear clearly because of the food, the obsession, the compulsion. And it talked about how I have a forgetter. I forget what it was like before, the desperation, the remorse, the guilt, the despair. Yes, and I don't want to ever go back to that. And I think I forgot to introduce myself. Joan Marie M. from Nevada, a recovered compulsive overeater by the grace of God. The whys are not a solution. The why is God. The power greater than myself. One of my friends had said to me the other day, we go out a lot to lunch, and she says to me, "Oh, I admire your willpower so much." I said, No, it's not me. It is God, the God of my understanding, the most powerful God. And with his power, I can resist. Actually, I don't even have to resist because the desire is not there anymore. If she eats the different things, they don't call to me anymore. To me, that's a miracle. There's miracles in this program. And if you're struggling, just please keep coming back and listening, and more will be revealed. And with that, Susan, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Joan Marie M. in Nevada. Okay, before I take the next lineup, let me remind everybody where we are. Page 22, there is a solution, the second paragraph with all those fabulous questions. Why does he behave like this? Ending with, displays respect to other matters. So if today is your third day to share, we would love to hear your experience, strength, and hope. You can star one to unmute and give me your first name, last initial, and where you are calling from this morning.
Mary Ellis.
Charlene G. from Joe M. Minnesota.
Joe M. Mary. I heard Mary first. Was it Mary L? Okay, lots of background noise.
Charlene G. Laura W.
Charlene G. Laura W. I still need to know who the met. Was it Mary L? Okay, so who I heard was Joe M. in Minnesota, Charlene G., Laura W., and I thought I heard a Mary L., but perhaps not. I can take maybe one or two more names and we'll try and get everybody in.
Laura K. from New York.
Laura K. from New York. Fantastic. And let's take one more. Okay, we will stop there. So,
Wendy M.
Oh. Hi, Wendy. Okay, let's everybody mute the line. If there is a Mary L. here, you are first, perhaps not. Then Joe M., Charlene G., Laura W., Laura K., and Wendy M. And when you speak, if you can please let us know where you're calling from, because a couple of people, I didn't get that. So is Mary L. here, or shall we move on from this name? Perhaps I'm making up.
Good morning. This is Mary Ellen. And Mary Ellen T. is in Tango, and I live in Oregon.
Thank
you. And I am a compulsive overeater, and good job, good hearing that you had there. Thank you so much for moderating the meeting. I am a recovering compulsive overeater with a lot of relapses these past 5 years since I've been in Big Book recovery, and I'm really hoping that with this step one and step two experience that I'm having right now, that I can really see the insanity of my disease, and this paragraph screams my name all over it. So why does she behave this way? If hundreds of experiences have shown her that one drink means another debacle. And so, you know, I struggle with my sanity. I have a sense of self-deception that's really strong. I put down my, what I thought were my alcoholic foods when I came into the program. But, you know, truth be told, I've just really balked at every single suggestion that that has been provided to me along the way. I put down what I thought were the alcoholic foods, which were like, you know, the things I really fantasized about. But I've had a really hard time seeing where I'm powerless over extra bites, where I'm powerless over letting go of a half ounce of food, weighing and measuring my rice, putting it onto the scale, and then there's still a half ounce left, and God, I don't want to throw that away. I'm just going to eat it, because a half ounce is not enough for another serving of anything. So, you know, that's you know, that self-deception right there. You know, or the fact that I really wrestled with some foods from the fat category and didn't really recognize that nuts, you know, were a problem, but I could see where I was overeating them, and then it was obvious I was overeating them, so I thought I'd try them in a few different ways. Can I have them raw? Can I have them unsalted? Same thing with cheeses, you know, and so I thought I put down the fat, and I thought I was recoiling from them appropriately, but, you know, it turns out that I'm still wrestling with olives. And coming to recognize that, you know, I've gradually been going back to the refrigerator more to drink a little bit of juice from that olive jar, or to have another couple bites of olives after I've already had my weighed and measured dinner. Is this because I don't have a great relationship with God? I don't think so. Is this because I didn't do a thorough house cleaning of my step four process? I don't think so. I think that this boils down to the fact that I'm insane. I really am very deluded about this process of thinking that I can control the food, and I really can't. I am so incredibly powerless over it to the point where I can't even see what I'm doing. And this paragraph describes me perfectly, and I'm going to continue on this journey. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you so much, Mary Ellen T. in Oregon. Next, we are going to go to Minnesota. Good morning, Joe M. Please join us.
Hi, good morning. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can.
Okay, thank you very much for your service. Hi, my name is Joe M., and I am a compulsive overeater in Minnesota. Why does he behave like this? What has become of the common sense and willpower that he still sometimes displays with respect to other matters? Well, I can tell you the why for me. I can't stand the way I feel when I'm not overeating. That's why. That's the big why for me. You can tell me to push myself away from the table. You can tell me to just have one. You can tell me to have just the baked goods. You can tell me just have dessert a couple times a week and no more. But you don't understand what happens inside of me, inside of my gut, when I'm not overeating every single day, when I'm not in the sugar, in the flour, the fat, the salt, the volume. When I'm not doing that, life is unbearable. My insides are unbearable. So how do I take care of that? I eat. Now I can function. Now I can stand up and walk through the day. Yes, I'm unhappy about what I'm doing. I'm not happy about the fact that I'm in this horrible cycle, but I can function. And that's the why. What I did not know until I came to Overeaters Anonymous and was introduced to the program of recovery is, why is life so unmiserable when I don't have a solution? That's where I got the answers. That's where I got information. That's where I got spiritual knowledge. That's where I got a spiritual awakening, so that I no longer have to ask these questions of myself anymore as if I don't know. Because today I know. Today I know, not only know, but I accept. I accept who I am, because the underneath the first why is another why, which is I have an allergy of the body, an obsession of the mind. And why do I have those? Because I'm a compulsive overeater. So I have my diagnosis. You all gave me the diagnosis, and you gave me a solution. You gave me a way out, which I get to practice and apply every day. And I'm so grateful. Thank you for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Joe M. in Minnesota. Next, we go to, if everyone can stay muted until it's their turn. Thank you so much, Charlene G. And if you can tell us where you're calling from this morning. Thank you. Charlene, are you here? Star one to unmute. Okay, I'll try you again after Laura W.
Can you hear me?
Who's this? Is this Charlene?
Charlene. Yes.
Okay, and where are you calling from, Charlene?
Hi, Charlene G. from Utah.
Thank you.
Okay, just wanting to say thank you to all of you who make this meeting possible. I am so grateful for a vision for you. You show up on my gratitude list often. I am grateful that God has just guided my recovery from day one. My Ebby suggested OA, and yet we had never talked about my issues with food and weight and all that stuff. But I got in the room, and I can just still remember those early years. And then I went overseas, and I was kind of like, what do I do? I was so attached to that meeting. But you know what? I came home that summer after hearing Owen talk about phone meetings and Skype meetings. And so I looked on the website, and what did I find? But a Vision for You, and that was in 2012. And there were 300 members at the time. So I'm just so grateful for this miracle. I've had hundreds of experiences, and then yet, what will that bite do? And my discovery is that my why is that I'm not following directions. I'm not doing what you guys suggest. You say, act on those food thoughts with the prescription, you know, instead of rationalizing, well, it's not flour or sugar, and not doing my TANs and just not applying the medicine. And so what I'm finding is that when I treat my addiction with the remedies that are given to us, my common sense and my willpower come from as gifts from God when I'm aligned with Him, His will. And He allows my ears to hear what I couldn't hear before, and He allows my eyes to see a new way of seeing. That's healing. And so that's spiritual awakening for me. He loves me, and He leads me and heals my blindness and my deafness, and through you, my fellow travelers. And I'm just so grateful that there is a solution, and grateful for all your service and your shares. And I do. I keep you on my gratitude list. I am so thankful. And God bless you, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Charlene G. in Utah. And then I have Laura W.
Hi, everyone. This is Laura W. from the Chicago area in Illinois. First thing I need to do is make an amends to everyone. I had signed up to read the steps on Mondays in May, and I missed two of my sessions, and for no really good reason. So I asked myself, why? Why would a person like myself, who is a very organized person, typically punctual, on time, certainly when I make obligations, I keep them. I missed two readings. And I guess the answer is, why doesn't matter? Why doesn't matter right now? Because I am in relapse. I'm struggling to get out of relapse. It's not horrific because I've never left the rooms, but my abstinence is not solid, and my connection is also not solid. What I need to do is work the steps and connect, reach out to the fellowship. So I'm so glad to be on here today to hear this reading, because it talks about, you know, why. And I know for me in the beginning, that's all I wanted to know was why. But one thing I learned when I was recovered was that why is a good thing, especially to help others, but why doesn't make you cured. If you know why, it doesn't make you abstinent or recovered. It's a helpful to others, but it isn't the solution. So I'm so glad to be on here today, have a chance to make amends, and listen to these great shares, because this fellowship is what helps me. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Excuse me, Laura W. in Illinois, the Chicago area. Next, Laura K. in New York. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. This is Laura K. in New York, and I don't think I need to add anything one's been saying this morning. The shares have been so terrific. And but, you know, I am a compulsive overeater, and it has been such a journey so far, and at times I hate it, and at other times I love it. But the why, I have found it helpful to know some of the why. I think I spent years in therapy trying to figure out how to heal from the past that was very difficult, and it wasn't until I took my fourth step and listed all my resentments that I was able to heal, and a fifth step, you know, and found myself just all of those just removed. It was amazing. And so that was kind of my first experience with with this compulsive, and the why being lifted. But the other part of the why is the allergy of the body, and that's a part of the first step. And I just was, and I know I've been struggling with that. You know, it's like, why do I eat like this? Why do I have this compulsion to eat? I know I keep going into that. Yeah, well, I know I have this all of this past that I was working through, and now that got lifted, and then why do I still eat? You know, and then it was. I've just recently been finding, I found this wonderful podcast that I was listening to and readings that I was listening to that just because I think, you know, I have the need for biological, physiological understanding of the whole thing, got this wonderful readings that I listened to and found that out. So there we go with that. But, you know, it still doesn't, none of it takes that away. It's working the steps, doing the homework, doing the day-to-day prayers, phone calls, 10 steps, making amends, the steps, doing the steps. That's what helps this compulsion to stay away, because that's when my higher power takes over for me. Because I do this myself, and it isn't, you know, I struggle with what foods, you know, and what foods, what behaviors, and it comes down to, it's just about everything for me, and so I can't,
Laura.
Taking certain things, okay, thank you, out of my menu, but anyway, it's my higher power that moves the compulsion, so thank you so much. And have a great day.
Thanks. Next, Wendy M. in Colorado. Wendy, we literally only have 1 minute, so I don't know if you want to hold till tomorrow. Okay,
oh,
great.
Oh, you want me to share tomorrow?
It's up to you. I only have 1 minute left.
I'll take it. Let's do it. So, Susan, thank you. I'm recovered in Boulder, Colorado. So why does it matter? Why cost me thousands of dollars in therapy, thousands of minutes in therapy, right? And that's okay. It's all okay. The past is okay. But here's what I'm finding, that when I pick up food or blame or whatever it is in patients, I'm picking up dishonesty. I'm picking up a total disconnection with God. And what I'm finding today is not only is my food down and it feels fabulous, but I have a connection with a higher power, because I know that anytime I'm dishonest, I'm disconnected with my higher power. And the greatest joy I get from this program is a connection with my higher power, that free flow of love, that free flow of, you know, Wendy, you're beautiful, you're good, and so is Susan, and so is everyone on this line. We're all connected. And when I get disconnected, it feels awful.
I'm Wendy.
And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we did it. Team Wednesday for May. Penny LC, Yvonne A, Cara L, Cheryl S, and it could be Shelley E or Elaine B for announcements, Kathy P and Joanne L, and all of you for making these meetings possible and fabulous. Thank you. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Yvonne A., will you now read a vision for you for us? Thank you so much.
And thank you, Susan. Yes, that's the reading, not the closing. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past, give freely of what you find, and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the happy road, or the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.